and smoked. So the actual conditions of living in the Bottoms, that was so well built and that looked so nice, were quite unsavory because people must live in the kitchen, and the kitchens open onto that nasty alley of ash pits. Mrs. Morrill was not anxious to move into the Bottoms, which was already 12 years old and on the downward path, when she descended to it from Bestwood. But it was the best she could do. Moreover, she had an end house in one of the top blocks, and thus had only one neighbor. On the other side, an extra strip of garden. And, having an end house, she enjoyed a kind of aristocracy among the other women of the between houses, because her rent was 5 shillings and 6 pence instead of 5 shillings a week. But this superiority in station was not much consolation to Mrs. Morrill. She was 31 years old and had been married 8 years. A rather small woman, of delicate mold but resolute bearing, she shrank a little from the first contact with the Bottoms women. She came down in the July, and in the September expected her third baby. Her husband was a miner. They had only been in their new home 3 weeks when the wakes, or fair, began. Morrill, she knew, was sure to make a holiday of it. He went off early on the Monday morning, the day of the fair. The two children were highly excited. William, a boy of 7, fled off immediately after breakfast to prowl round the wakes ground, leaving Annie, who was only 5, to whine all morning to go also. Mrs. Morrill did her work. She scarcely knew her neighbors yet, and knew no one with whom to trust the little girl, so she promised to take her to the wakes after dinner. William appeared at 12:30. He was a very active lad, fair-haired, freckled, with a touch of the Dane or Norwegian about him. "Can I have my dinner, mother?" he cried, rushing in with his cap on. "'Cause it begins at 1:30, the men says so." "You can have your dinner as soon as it's done," replied the mother. "Isn't it done?" he cried, his blue eyes staring at her in indignation. "Then I'm going beyond it." "You'll do nothing of the sort. It will be done in 5 minutes. It is only 12:30.
"They'll be beginning,"
the boy half cried, half shouted.
"You won't die if they do," said the mother. "Besides, it's only 12:30, and you've a full hour."
The lad began hastily to lay the table, and directly the three sat down. They were eating batter pudding and jam, when the boy jumped off his chair and stood perfectly still. Some distance away could be heard the first small braying of a merry-go-round and the tooting of a horn. His face quivered as he looked at his mother.
"I told you,"
he said, running to the dresser for his cap.
"Take your pudding in your hand, and it's only 1:05, so you were wrong. You haven't got your tuppence," cried the mother in a breath.
The boy came back, bitterly disappointed for his tuppence, then went off without a word.
"I want to go, I want to go,"
said Annie, beginning to cry.
"Well, and you shall go, whining, whizzing little stick," said the mother.
And later in the afternoon she trudged up the hill under the tall hedge with her child. The hay was gathered from the fields, and cattle were turned on to the Eddish. It was warm, peaceful. Mrs. Morrill did not like the wakes. There were 2 sets of horses, one going by steam, one pulled round by a pony. 3 organs were grinding, and there came odd cracks of pistol shots, fearful screeching of the coconut man's rattle, shouts of the Aunt Sally man, screeches from the peep-show lady. The mother perceived her son gazing enraptured outside the Lion Wallace booth at the pictures of this famous lion that had killed a negro and maimed for life 2 white men. She left him alone and went to get Annie a spin of toffee. Presently the lad stood in front of her, wildly excited.
"You never said you was coming. Isn't there a lot of things? That lion's killed 3 men. I've spent my tuppence, and look here."
He pulled from his pocket 2 egg cups with pink moss roses on them.
"I got these from that stall where you have to get the marbles in them holes, and I got these 2 in 2 goes. Halfpenny a go. They got moss roses on. Look here. I wanted these."
She knew he wanted them for her.